Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone. And thank you for what you're doing. Yes. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So we started a conversation. Would I say we've been having conversations this entire season about, of course, handling relationships. Looked at, you know, playing well with others, and then we moved on into seeing how that the local assembly is not supposed to be full of people who have a mentality of flowing with the same class or with a particular . So I said yesterday that we would have to be careful as a local church on being choosy, you know, the rich, you know, have it in their mind that, okay, we want to flow together. The well-looking also have it in their mind, okay, we want to flow together. The poor, in quotes, of course, I'm speaking, you know, from natural stance, and how that local assemblies are full of these groups. But I have taught us that there should be no divisions whatsoever. Those who have braces, they go to the dentist, they have braces, they also have a commission. Those who wear glasses, they also have, a commission. And when this happens, the local church becomes splitted because we divide ourselves, you know. I also advised us on how careful we should be, such that when, you know, an individual starts to, in quote, make it, you know, sometimes there could just be the deception to start to want to despise all the people that you have been with, all the people that you had been with all the while. And so we ought to be very careful about these in the local church. Now, this evening, I'm going to take some time. Actually got in early so I could communicate more clearly and then have quite some extensive time to talk to us. So in the local assembly, again, we don't despise. This person smells good, so we like that fellow. That person doesn't smell good, so we sort of shy away. You know, if there's anything else we should be doing, we should be covering, you know, the flaws or flaws or faults of one another and not shying away. Now, in the local assembly, what I'm going to teach shortly tonight is very important. because there are certain times where there are failed relationships in the local assembly. Now, when I say failed relationships, I mean, I told you that whenever I say relationships, I'm not talking about boyfriend, girl. There could be other relationships that outside boyfriend, girlfriend experience tunnels. For example, you bought something from a church member and then the thing refuses to work after you have paid some money for it. How do you handle it? Now, not exactly that, but then it works. It can happen that you buy something and then it fails. You can You can be in a business transaction with somebody in the church and it fails. You know, there are times where I convinced people to pick church members for maybe certain favors, right? And at the end of the day, it's almost looking like the church member didn't pull up their best in the favor. Does that mean that I will not keep recommending people for jobs, could not keep recommending people for opportunities? It doesn't mean that, right? So there are times where relationships fail. You know, and I've also come to realize that as a pastor, there are things that you have to teach openly. It helps the people to know what to do, and those things do not harm them. See, when you don't teach it, it harms the people unknowingly. But when you teach it, the people get to understand it and they get to flow with it. So there are failed relationships within the local assembly. For example, if maybe you liked somebody, you loved somebody in the church, liked them when I say like, I use like for almost everything. So you may not be able to know what I'm talking about, you know, but I'm talking about the relationship between a guy and a lady, right? When maybe you get to like someone in that sense, because you can like them in a different sense. You know, and sometimes I'll just have to classify what type of like it is. But then you like someone in the church, you get to talk to the person in the church, or you like somebody, of course, within the local assembly. So I'm talking about the local assembly. Then maybe you get into a relationship, obviously under the supervision of your pastor, you know, and it gets to a point in time the relationship experiences a strain or a stress. And then let's say there is not that coming up any longer after you have, you know, been together for a while. You know, everybody has become aware that, oh, this person and this person, you know, are flowing together in a certain way. Then something happens. You see, you know, I've seen people who walk out of the local assembly because they tell me, I'm a pastor. I've not pastored for 10 years yet, but then I've had to see some of these things. Right? I can't stay in the church any longer. Why can't you stay in the church any longer? I don't think I can stand him getting married to somebody. Or I don't think I can stand so-and-so getting married to somebody. I don't think I can. You know, I don't think I can stand her getting married to somebody or getting married to somebody. And so they leave the church. You know, but unknown to such individuals is that the plan of God and the will of God is bigger than natural relationships. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be even knowing who our spouses were. Yes, we'll know, okay, this person, we knew them on earth. Because our spirits on earth here are going to be the same spirits here, you know, in heaven with a more, you know, glorified body. So there are things you'll be able to remember on earth, of course, while you're not on earth. That's very biblically proven. It's just like, you know, the rich man and then, you know, the rich man who said, could you dip your hand, you know, put water in my tongue and go back and preach to my brothers. It means that he was able to recognize him as somebody that fed from the table, you know, and then he fed from the crumbs that fell off the table. So there's just going to be those happening up over there when we're going to be with the Lord. But then you can see that relationships and marriages, in quotes, it's not so relevant. You know, it's not so relevant. In fact, if there's a reason why you have a relationship, it's because of you, not because of God. God doesn't need that for anything, right? So we must keep our eyes on what the plan is. See, we must keep our eyes on what the plan is. You know, there are certain profitable relationships in my life. Let's say maybe let's say doctrinally, right, I agree 99%. Then 1%, I might not exactly flow in with it exactly. Maybe a good friend of mine in ministry, right? I agree to 99% of the things that you say, 1% of the things that you say, I really don't agree with it. But then it shouldn't stop me from seeing and loving and cherishing the relationship, especially when it's God inspired. You see, that's the wisdom that comes with knowing how to handle these relationships. So yes, we may disagree, but that disagreement should not split the relationship. The moment that disagreement splits the relationship, we get to miss out on what God is doing with both of us together. Right? We get to miss out on what God is doing with both of us together. We get to miss out on what God is wanting to accomplish with us together. You know, there was a time there was a time I went somewhere. It's probably happened, and I sensed this familiarity with the ministry I was going to minister for. I sensed this familiarity. I didn't know where it was coming from, but I just sensed, you know, like a familiarity. So I was asking God, Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? Because the moment these people are familiar, right, they may take for granted what is done for them. And one of the ways to, you know, suck the Lord's anointed, I don't know for many people, but it works with me. I just suddenly draw away in a certain sense, right? So I told the man of God, the next time he invited me, I told him I was not going to come. I'm very plain. I don't know how to hide things because I'm not a hypocrite. You see, I don't know how to hide things from people. If I have something, I will tell you. I don't know how to hide it. So I told him that I was not going to come. And he was very sad. Very sad. So I was now asking the Lord, okay, so what do I do to compensate for that? Because, you know, there has to be, you know, a very wise mixture of love, yet still a firm decision on what needs to be done. Then the Lord just told me, he just said that, go there when you have not been given the opportunity to minister. Just go there. So the very program I had turned down, I said I was not going to come, was the program I went in unawares, not to go and minister, just to sit down and learn what is going on. So I got in and everybody was shocked because I'm told they were told I was not going to come. The man of God himself was shocked. He didn't know what he was going to do. Right? Then he gave me a microphone. Then I ministered. Right? So, you see that the same thing has been accomplished. But then there's a lot of wisdom and skill to handling the same situation. So, what am I trying to say? Probably, God wants me ministering for them. That's his ultimate plan. But you see, because we are men, we allow certain things troop in. And it takes a lot of wisdom and tact to be able to handle these things that happen. Now, was I going to walk out of the relationship because that was happening? Of course not, because I should have known that maybe God brought, I don't know, maybe God has made it that I will minister for them. I don't know. But then I still have to find a way to go about it. such that the plan and the will of God ultimately will still reign. So some of you who have relationships within the confines of the church, and maybe the person inspires you to pray, this person inspires you to study your Bible, the person inspires you to, you know, go for follow-up, the person inspires you to have evangelism, the person inspires you, you know, there's a provoking of good works, right, by that individual. But then you see that the person has a flaw, right, that you sort of like fight with the person about. Then before you realize, the person that provoked you onto every kind of a good work, you kick them out of your life. Right? Now, this is what is going to happen. You lose out on the desire for prayer. You lose out on the desire for ministry or study of the word. You lose out on the desire. It may not be sudden, but it may be gradual. It will not be sudden, but it may be gradual. So you see that the relationship, which is God's plan for that relationship, has been severed because of we not being able to deal with our shortcoming as men. See, let me tell you, there are friends you have within the local assembly, people you have within the ministry. You should be able to put up with their inadequacies. Like, let's say you are good friends. You see, you are good friends with someone in the church, but then the person has also done something to you that you don't like. You must be able to see the plan of God in that relationship and preserve that relationship rather than hurt that relationship, because you see God in that relationship. So we can disagree, yes, but when it comes to God's plan, we should make sure our disagreement, maybe you like something, I don't like it. You also have something I don't have, or you dislike something that I also like. Maybe you say she talks too much, I don't talk too much. You know, that different things that people have differences on. Right. So for the sake of God's plan, right, for the sake of God's plan in that relationship, you must be wise enough to be able to keep that relationship. So when you find me, when I find people say that I'm walking out because she didn't say yes to my proposal, I find that very interesting. Would you walk out of God's plan because she didn't say yes? I mean, I get shocked when I hear some of these things. I can't be around her because she said no to me. Why should that be so? You should be able to see the greater good of what is done. Okay, are you going to say your disciple said no to you, so you are not going to disciple her again? That's not the way it works. Your discipler said no to you, so you are not going to. So you are going to walk out of the discipleship relationship, forgetting that that discipleship relationship is God's plan for you. But that relationship are things that come up as a result of what you feel and what your emotions are towards that individual. So are you going to walk out of it? Then you walk out of God's plan for your life. Or you are going to know how to handle that so that we are still fine, even if it doesn't happen, that you have a relationship with the person. Right? So this evening, I'm hoping that my conversation with us as a local assembly is going to help every one of us to know how to handle relationships when they fail, because relationships fail. And to you, man of God, don't walk out of ministry because a relationship failed. don't walk out of the local assembly because somebody you thought was going to respond to you never responded to you. Don't walk out of it. There's a greater plan that far surpasses what is natural, that far surpasses your differences, that far surpasses what God is doing with you. I mean, that far surpasses what you want for yourself in that local assembly. It's like somebody who says, they don't allow me to sing in church, so I'm going to find my own way to sing. What if God wants you in that local assembly, not even giving the opportunity to sing, but over the period of time, you're going to grow into something very special that he wants you to grow into. So you see that people walk out of places and it becomes very interesting. Right? So I'm teaching this. I know how to untie the strings. I know how to. As a pastor, I know how to. And God has given me that grace via the teaching ministry. I know how to make something that can destroy the church very normal for everybody to agree to it that it's like that. Yes, I'm just going to teach on it and I'll show you clearly in God's word how it's supposed to be done. So I'm seeing that relationships are sprouting. Beautiful. I don't have a problem with that. But let me tell you something. Every type of relationship within the confines of the local assembly, right, is for the sake of knowing what is happening. I want to just know you. You see, the person wants to just know you. I want to know you. So if while I want to know you, right, of course, keep this. If while I want to know you, I'm helping you so that you also are not tied to relationships that you are not satisfied with as well. Right? Say, I've come to know you, so I don't think I want to know you in that manner or in that light any longer. Right? Now, we who are spectators, like myself who is a spectator of what you are having in that relationship, I shouldn't now become the reason why you will want to leave the church. Me, I'm just watching. If you say that I'm changing my mind, say, okay. And to you also that the mind has been changed towards, don't leave the ministry. Did you see that? Don't leave the ministry. Oh, after all, it's because of the person that I was in the ministry. No, that should not be the reason. So, we all together should not see it strange when we get together, oh, this person is no longer with that person. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm praying it doesn't happen. But just in case it does, we're in a local church. So just in case it does, it is normal. It's like Bluetooth is ready to pair. Bluetooth is ready to pair. Bluetooth is ready to pair. Pearling rejected or Pearling rejected. So we all agree that there are certain times where there are some pearls that are rejected. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? Sometimes it doesn't pearl. Somebody doesn't pearl. See? So don't say that it has to pearl. What if it's not pearling? What if it's not pearling? So, I came to tell someone this evening that there is a thing as maybe, whatever, maybe two friends, it doesn't work. But don't forget this and what I'm telling you. Do not ditch the plan of God because of an unpaired situation. Right? Don't ditch the plan of God. Don't ditch the plan of God for an unpaired situation. Don't ditch the plan of God. The plan of God is far important than what you feel. Now, for example, look at Acts 13:13. This was when, can someone give me the NLT version, Acts 13:13? Paul was with Barnabas. And then at that time, they had John Mark with them. right? So these are two great apostles, right? These are two great apostles. Then they have a small boy with them. Then as they are going on their apostolic missionary trips, it was actually their first missionary trip. John Mark, who is the small boy, when they landed at the port town of Perga, John Mark said he was not going again. And it hurt Paul so badly. He told, you know, John Mark, you know, Paul and Barnabas were the people the Holy Spirit separated for the work that he had called them to. So they had a small boy with them. Uh-huh. But when they got to their first missionary trip, John Mark said he was not going to go again. Then in Acts 15, 36 to 41, Paul and Barnabas were going back to check on the churches later in that area. And then Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. You know, so let's say we are going. Okay, can we hold on with the comments so that the scriptures can stay, please? Thank you. So Paul and Barnabas, P and B, put that in your mind. They were the apostles, right? P and B were apostles. They had a small boy called J, who was John Mark. Then when they arrived at a point at their first missionary trip, John Mark said he was not going to go again. So John Mark went his way. But Paul and Barnabas also went their way. Then later, when they came back to visit the other churches in each city where they had previously preached the word, Barnabas, which was with Paul, said that he wanted to give John Mark another chance. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and he had not continued with them in the work. Hey, it became a very strong fight between Paul. The Paul we know, he fought with John Mark sharply to an extent where the writer of Acts is telling us that the fight was very sharp. You know, because Barnabas was that guy that was a son of consolation. He understands people. You know, he wants to flow with people. He gives people second chances. He says that, oh, you can run away and come back. But we all know Paul is not that kind of a person. Paul will not give you a second chance. Paul is not going to understand why you deserted them when they needed you the most. And he was not going to pick that from you. So look at 39-40. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. But don't forget, the Holy Ghost had put Paul and Barnabas together. In fact, he says, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work wherein you have called them into. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. It means that they had a work together. Together. That's the plan of God. That's the original plan of God. They had a work together. But then there is John Mark who comes in, and Barnabas is trying to console John Mark. And Paul is saying, we're not giving him another chance, or we're not giving him another opportunity. So the disagreement was so sharp. Look at what happened. They separated. That was the end of it. So Paul went his way. Barnabas also went his way. But the interesting thing is that Barnabas took John Mark with him and he sailed with him to Cyprus. Look at what happened. Paul also chose Silas and he sailed over. To Syria and to Cilicia. He continued strengthening the churches. What has happened? The plan of God has been split by a conflict. And what happens? Barnabas' ministry is never the same again. Barnabas's ministry is never the same again. We don't hear of him again. It means he walks out of the very plan of God. Now, here's the interesting thing. I've never taught this and I've never said this, but I want you to get the light of what I'm about to say. Barnabas returned with John Mark, right? Now, I believe strongly that Barnabas must have nurtured John Mark and worked with him, you know, throughout this, you know, devastating experience. Yes, Barnabas would have worked with John Mark. Because he would have been that understanding guy who wants to understand why you would desert us. You know, if it was Paul, Paul would not understand. Paul doesn't understand. But he understands. But years later, look at what happens in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11. In fact, Barnabas had lost his place. Timothy had come to take his place. It means that now Timothy was very close to Paul, which became Paul's companion. But then look at what he says about Mark. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Ah. Hey. You don't get what is happening. Barnabas, the reason why you left, the person has now become profitable. And they are calling the person back into the ministry. But you, Barnabas, we don't get to hear of you again. That's why I was telling you that. I've not said this in any of my teachings. But then that's a reality. But imagine if Barnabas had chosen the plan of God and said, no, Paul, you know what? John Mark, he has gone. I want to restore him, but let's do that some time ago. Let's keep our eyes on the mission or the work that God has called us to do. Let's go ahead and do it. Later on, I'll see how best I can help John Mark. It still would have worked. But Barnabas is suddenly having a sharp contention with him, such that he splits out of the ministry. We don't get to hear Barnabas any longer. But later on, John Mark is found profitable for the ministry. As to where Barnabas was, we can't tell. I would like to encourage every one of you, keep your eyes on the plan. Keep your eyes on the plan. What is the plan? Is to serve the Lord, to be given to his will. Of course, in the ministry. Keep your eyes on that plan. And she's too no, she's too, don't pay attention to that. And he said he likes me, said he likes me, said now he has left me. No, don't put your eyes on that. Keep your eyes on the plan. Keep your eyes on the plan. That which God wants to do with you is much more important than those small, small things that come in addition with it. If you say you like her, she says she doesn't like you. Well, what is wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. Keep your eyes on the plan. Keep your eyes on what God wants you to do. Don't despise what is the will of God. for other disagreements and other issues. I'll wrap up by saying this. Pray that God helps your heart to see what is the plan, what is the most important thing that you have to do. Pray. It's the most important thing that you have to do. So again, there will be failed relationships within the local assembly. Yeah. There will be. No matter what happens, there will be. There will be. But when these things arise, I want you to keep your eyes on the plan. And to all of us who are spectators, or all of whoever it is, that's, there will not be many, but there will be. It's possible. I'm teaching it so that everybody knows that there's a tendency. There will be. All of us who are spectators, that's not the time to be saying, hey. If I get you, if I get you, it just comes to me that you are the one doing, you answer to me, why? When it happens, we all just swallow it. Say, oh, wow. Let's believe God again. It'll work. With another person, it'll work. And then we all move forward. It's not anything. Don't be so hyper about these issues. These things are not anything to be so hyper, you know, about. No. So, we're going to keep our eyes on the plan. The plan is evangelism. The plan is discipleship. The plan is to flow in the Spirit. The plan is to be effective with what God wants us to do as a group, as individuals. Right? Yes. When you have issues with your teacher, you see, or you pick up an issue with your pastor, it's very possible. It doesn't mean you have to leave. Do you see that? The leaving there would cause you to walk out of the plan, which is original. Remember John Mark and Barnabas. Barnabas is sharp. He leaves. We don't get to hear of him again. Right? So you're going to know how to handle these. Know how to handle it. You have a disagreement with somebody. Does not mean you should call it a quit. You know, and the beautiful thing is that relationships that go through stress or strain have very high and, you know, potential benefits to become better. It's very true. So I want you to know how to handle these things within the confines of the local assembly. Know how to handle it. And to those of you who are going to have disciples that leave and that come back again like John Mark, receive them in encouragement. Don't fight against them. You know, don't talk against them. Don't make them feel some way. No, receive them. There could be second opportunities for something that did not work the first time to work again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You know, one time, I told someone that someone had left. And I told the person, I said, if this person comes back, I would receive the person joyously and gladly. Yes. But you would think maybe I will not receive, but I will receive you joyously and gladly. But it's just that your pride and your stubbornness, you see, your stubbornness is what will make you not say that you have missed it. You see, it will not make you say that you have missed it. It will make you say, oh, I'm right. And it's just because of that. Yeah, but we are willing to have you You see, that's the glory of it. That's the glory of it. Your egoistic self will say that, oh no, we can. That's always the problem. But me, there's nobody who does something to me that comes to say, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. That I'll say, I'm not going to agree to what you have to say. I'm going to agree. I was telling the person, I said, if this person comes back, I will gladly. Yes, I will gladly. It's like I even long for you. Yes, it's just that I'm not going to follow you. Because God has also a way of knowing that you chose a wrong decision, but he can't follow you. You know, he can't follow you. But, you know, pride, ego, a lot of issues will not allow you to agree. Do you see that? Oh, yes. So, we are going to be careful about these things. Right? We're going to be careful about these things. We know how to handle them. Know how to handle relationships that do not succeed on all levels. And I believe strongly that God is going to be very faithful to us as we walk with him in the fulfillment of his plan. Keep your eyes on the ball. Right? Keep your eyes on what matters the most, which is what God wants us to fulfill together. Keep your eyes on that. Don't take your eyes off that. You take your eyes off that, you start chasing after so many things. Don't take your eyes off. Take your eyes. Keep your eyes on what God wants you to fulfill. The fact that your friend is no longer friends with you does not mean you should do something. It doesn't help. Don't get angry. Don't talk about people. Don't talk about them to people. You create a lot of mess when you do that. Right? You create a lot of mess when you do that. So, I pray for you that God is going to help you to do what you have to do. And he's going to help you to keep your eyes on the ball. Father, we thank you for everyone. Did that bless you? Did that bless you? Did it bless you? Did it bless you? Met you well? Met you well? Met you well? Great. So we know how to handle these things, right? Keep your eyes on the main goal. Accommodate your friends. They may not be perfect, but they are the ones that help you to pray. They are the ones that inspire you to serve God. They are the ones that push you to go out. So the little flaws and inadequacies and all, be able to bear. Because that is more important than those little things. That is more important. Yes, that is more important. So just be able to bear. I don't know. Be able to bear. You have a friend that eats too much. But he's the one that reminds you of what pastor says. It means that you have to bear with him. He eats more than you, but you still have to bear with him. Because that's your friend. And he's the one that keeps you in the plan of God. You see, we all have things to deal with. He's the one. He's the one that never spends his money, but you spend your money. It's not that you are a fool. You just know what is the most important thing to pay attention to. Do you understand? Yeah, that's a wise fellow. That's a wise fellow. So be like me when I said I turned down the invitation. But then with wisdom, we don't turn down the friendship. You still find a way to keep the thing going. Because that is bigger. It's bigger than whatever difference it is that you have. What you have is bigger than that. It's bigger than that. So we are going to learn how to handle these situations, all right? And our relationships within the confines of a local assembly and even outside. Your boss doesn't talk well, but he's the one that pays you. You see, if we take it outside, that's also it. He's the one that pays you well. He doesn't talk well to you, but he pays you well. What will you do? What will you do? My
my mental. That's how you go home and be hungry. Why don't you find shock absorbers for your mental whatever? And stay there till you can move out quietly. Well, you should get mental shock absorbers. Because that's just the one, it's the one that pays you. You say, hey, pastor, he doesn't feed me. Okay. You stop. Stop. I'm advising you to stop. You just have to have mental shock absorbers. You see, there are people that are going to be rude. Some people that are naturally rude. You see, you have to get shock absorbers for rudeness. You see, up until the time where you are out of that place. Did you see that? Yeah, up until the time where you are out of that place. It's true. It's true. You have to even know how to walk so much in love that being rude now is not a problem to you. Yes. Me, I have a way of understanding people. You'll be shocked. You think I don't understand, but I understand you. Yes. I know how to flow with different types of people to get what God wants to accomplish or to keep the eyes on the main goal. Yeah. So you have to be able to. You know, I was telling someone that you are very some way. So if a small boy is coming to pray for you and you are sick, you will not collect the prayer. You see, the pride in people is very some way. If a small boy is coming to pray for you and you are sick and you can receive the prayer, we say that the small boy is 19 years or 16 years, so you won't collect the prayer. You should get you a 52-year-old person to pray for you. Huh? And that's why God is going to bring everybody down. Yes, he will humble you until the time where you are thirsty and dying like a dead goat. You are dying, you are thirsty, then you see that small water, that small brook is where you have to bend down and drink from. Yeah, that small brook is where you have to bend down and drink from. You are tested. You are dead. You are left with 2 minutes to death. You see that small brook, the small brook is where you have to bend down and drink. And he humbles people like that. Yes, he humbles people like that. Me, I'm always praying that he shouldn't use me. He shouldn't take me there. That means I want to be humble so that he doesn't have to humble me. Yes, because at some times he humbles you. That's, you see that when you are not testing, you say that, oh, it's too much of a brook. What is this? It's a small brook. Get me Voltic bottle. Get me, Belacqua. Until they tell that, see, the whole town, there's no Belacqua. The whole town, there's no Voltic. The whole town, there is nothing. It's only this brook that you will have water coming from. He said, no, I don't drink from the brook. You'll be having hope that next 2 months, Belacqua should release water. They are not releasing water. Then now you are dying. You don't have to drink and drink. Yeah. I say that there are many people who will be humble. If they can be humble and learn from a man of God, their churches will not be the same. But you say that the man of God is simple. He doesn't talk what he's not. That's the brook. Until you bend down, you lick from the brook. You see that there will be thirst. Bend down at the brook and lick from it. Somebody who puts somebody that is younger than you to lead you. Yeah. It's a way of humbling you. Put somebody younger than you. The person, lead this older person. You see that you are trying to say, and he said, that's the person I've called to lead you. Yeah. So you have to be very careful. If you see that God is saying that, bend down and drink from this brook. Bend down and drink from it. That is where sometimes you even say, how can I drink from this brook? But when you start to drink from the brook genuinely, you say, hey, this is the best water I've drunk from Belacqua to, what do you call it? Voltic is the best. You say, hey, this brook didn't look like But that was where he wants to humble you from. Yes. So in your relationships, you must know where to bend down. Yeah. You must know where to bend. You bend down from the brook and you drink from it. And it's not like the brook is going to say, if you don't drink from me, you will see. No, the brook is not going to say that too. The brook is just going to be there. Yeah, quietly. It may never even talk, but you have to say that I'm going to bend down and drink from this brook. And you see that when you drink from it, it gives life to you. So God is helping us all in the name of Jesus to keep our eyes. And some of you say, oh, I'm a fine boy until you get 3 rejections. I'm a fine boy. Nobody rejects me until you get 3 of them. All the 3 people are saying no. And you now say, hey, when you're going to propose on the 4th one, you'll be shaking like this. That's God humbling you. You'll be shaking. Say, hey, I've had 4 rejections, Lord. I thought I was very handsome, but 4 of them have said no to me. This is now my 5th one. And the funny one is that the 5th one too. So you'll be shaking, and then that's how you bend down and say, Lord, help me. And you say, my son has now learned. Yeah. My son has now learned that this one to go through the brook is to humble you. It's to humble you. Oh, yes, it's to humble you. So receive everything. You know, one time I was going through something in my life. I knew that God was trying to humble me. Yes, I knew it was a problem. And I said, hey, I had to bend. I said, Lord. He will show you that he is God over you. Yeah, I said, I was hot. And I knew, it's like he already told me that you were Pascal. I'm going to humble you using this situation. Yeah, that time I couldn't even sleep. I prayed like my head wasn't there. And I'm sure he was just sitting there and saying, that will humble you. When you finish coming out of it, you will see that same situation. You will not talk the way you talk again. Yeah, you won't talk the way you talk again because you would have already been humbled. Yes, you won't talk the way you talk again. You won't talk the way you talk again until you have already been humbled. Yes, until you have been humbled. You keep talking in a certain way until you have gone through it. Then when you see you are quiet like this, you are quiet, and then you'll be looking at it like, you say, do you have anything to say? Oh, no, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say. One time God told me something. Ever since I saw people. You know, people think maybe I'm very tough. I'm a very soft person internally. Yes, because I've been taking through some things, a few things, not so much, a few things that make me humble. Yes, or is humbling me. Yes, many times you think that I just give the instruction, and so I give the instruction and I come back to the Lord. Yes, because he's the one that humbles it. This one, do it like this. This one, do it like that. I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you how to do it. Until you bend down from this brook and drink from it, you will be hungry like a dead goat. You'll be standing there thirsty. The brook will be there. Yeah. So I've seen nice guys. They say, I've been bounced 4 times. So, oh, you, if you have been bounced, then everybody's going to be bounced in this world. Say, I've been bounced. Lord, help me. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, talk for me. Yes. I'll look at it and I said, that's a humbling process. Yes, that's a humbling process. It's a humbling process. It's all good together. Huh? It's all good together. Yes. I think tomorrow we'll pray a prayer that prays to the Lord to humble us using situations. Yes. Because your pride will not make you, So you should bring this to ask him for it too. Should bring the situation, something that will beat you. You know that, achay! And then when they are now talking, you'll be quiet. You'll say, yes, yes, I agree. 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 What do you say about me? It's true. It's true. It's true. That's why I don't care what people say about me. Because I've already been taken. It's true. You say, it's true. It's true. It's true. Even say more so that I can take it and meditate so that I'll be in a certain way. It's true. Yeah. So God is helping every one of us. We're knowing how to handle these relationships. Real life story. I met somebody who said that they were breaking up or something. And the lady was still telling the guy that she loves her. She loves him. Yeah. She loves him, but she will still break up with him. The guy cried like a baby. To humble you. Yes. Have you ever seen someone say, I love you, but I it can't work. It's very valid too. Yes, it's very valid too. I love you, but it can't work. It can't work. Guy is crying like a baby. Cried like a baby. That's why to humble everybody. To humble everybody. So God is humbling us. We know how to handle relationships that do not succeed. Relationships within the confines of a local assembly. We know how to flow with, you know, different situations and circumstances. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.